My name is Abe, and you are on the Mike and Abe Show. And, Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm grumpy, but I'm here.
Uh-huh.
I got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. First, you tell me what you want to talk about first.
Well, no. I want to hear what you want to talk about, because you're the man on the scene. You're the man in the cab, and you're the man that knows what's going on.
Right. Well, here's a couple of things that I wrote something on our fantastic little website, nyctaxinews.com. First thing I want to know is, why is it that very few people working at the taxi commission have ever driven a cab? I mean, somebody was talking to me about the other day. It might have been even like you were chiming in on that. If somebody works for the fire department, they were probably a fireman or fire person, police officer, doctors running a hospital. He was a doctor. But the taxi commission, it seems to me that nobody up there has any experience, like, physically driving a cab, or for that fact, a green car or like a limo. There, how is this possible that the people working at the taxi commission have no experience driving a cab?
Well, do they want
that to be that way?
Well, let me ask you this. Did you just find this out?
Well, you know, every day you keep doing your same routine.
Yeah.
Then eventually you go up there. I had to do some, like, stuff the other day, no big deal.
Yeah.
But you go up and you see all these people with the, you know, doing this and shuffling papers and sitting and, you know, they get their little plants in the windows and stuff like that. It's like, listen, does anybody here ever drive a cab? Has anybody here have a hack license, or does anybody here drive a cab? I'm guessing that zero people in the administrative departments have ever driven a yellow cab. And I think that should be, you can run this by the public. That should be 1-A of working at the taxi commission. Say, listen, you don't have to maybe physically drive a cab for like 3 years, but you should A, either have some experience, or B, you should at least go through the process, get a hack license, and just, you know, and you can work at the commission with a hack license, but at least go through the process, and especially the drug testing part. Because I thought a couple of times I went up there, I smelled the skunk weed thing, and I don't know who was skunking. But where are the mandatory drug tests for them? Where did they get these people anyway? Do you know?
Probably the unemployment line. I don't know where they get them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what qualifications you have to be one of those clerks. I used to go up to the one on 32nd Place, or 32nd Street over there in Long Island City, and all those clerks behind the window, you know, they have this attitude like, what do you want? What do you want from me? You know,
right.
Sit down, we'll call you. What do you want? Like we're doing you a big favor by servicing you, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's the other thing.
I absolutely deplore this going up there. Okay.
Yeah.
You
never went to inspections for the same reason. You never wanted to deal with inspections at all.
Well, you know, you go for inspection, and I did go for inspections for a number of years, okay? And you come out, and, you know, you stand in front of the building over there by the BQE, right? Okay?
Right.
And you start praying that they won't that they won't find some dip thing, you know? Can I say dipshit? I don't know.
Fine by me.
You know, like maybe you have a thumbtack in one of your tires, okay?
Yeah, I would go further and say, hope and pray that some dipshit doesn't find some chicken shit. That's probably the
okay. All right, you want to put it that way, you know, the most ridiculously little nothing that they could find.
Yeah.
You know, why? Because I think that the job depends on the fact, like, how can all these cars pass, right? So you must fail some of them to make it look like you're doing your job, okay?
Right.
I mean,
I
do give them credit, you know, for seeing things that are real, you know, like a ball joint that's about to pop, okay?
Yeah.
Something like that, or transmission fluid leaking, or you know, there are things that they do correctly, okay, but usually it's some ridiculous nothing, you know, or they'll give you one of those things, come back and you got 2 weeks to fix this bulb, you know.
Right.
I mean, so you got to go trudging back there. They couldn't just tell you, look, the bulb is out. Get it fixed. You're going to get a summons. The rest of the car is fine. Okay?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what can I say? You know, I stopped going to inspections. Thank God I stopped. And it's been almost 20 years since I had to go for a TLC vehicle inspection. Okay? All right?
It's such high anxiety for the drivers. First of all, can you afford the repair, they're saying? And second of all, it's like, well, I know guys had two philosophies. One guy would prim and prime the cab, fix everything he could possibly find, then send the cab for inspection. Then I know other guys who would just send the car in as is. It's like, listen, I'm not going to fix anything until they tell me what's wrong. That's one philosophy.
Well, that's a good
the other
way
philosophy
to do
was
it.
The guy,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I know some fleets have done very well. They say, listen, don't even bother. Just send the car in, and they'll tell you what's wrong. Then you tell you're wrong, it's fixed. Because here you might be going in a different direction than what you're supposed to fix. But I know for many years, the taxi commission had these. Right now they have a big central facility. So the corruption is, I'm hoping, like way down.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to have these little satellite repair garages. And, man, you used to go in those places. That was just like being in the circus. They would tell you to fix stuff that wasn't even wrong, and that sometimes a replacement part would just be like a spray painted ball joint or a spray painted brake, and they charge you like triple what you'd get in the Apple market. That was a disaster. I remember that.
Well, I remember when the inspections weren't done in the central facility. That's prior to, I think, 1990 or 1992. Okay, where they had all these garages all over the city. Okay, private garages where they employed them to do the inspections with inspectors in the garages. Okay, I'm talking about not gas stations, but just general repair shops. Okay, and I remember I knew somebody that bought a used checker, and in those days you could buy a used cab and hack it up, right?
Right.
And somebody who bought a used checker. Right, and the inspector came out and said to the guy, this car has a lot of problems. And the guy said, "Oh," and he said, "Listen, put something in the ashtray." Okay, I saw this. Okay,
he said, "Put something in the ashtray."
Yeah, put something in the ashtray. So the guy put $10 in the ashtray, right? And the inspector came out and he said, "Is that the best you can do?" Okay, you know, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but that was probably somewhere around 1982, all right?
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's already 30-something years ago, right? But I remember a time when that was, you know, blatantly relevant, the case all over the place, okay? And and if you recall, even when they opened up the big facility in Long, you know, in Woodside, right? There was a time, and I think this was in 1992, where 14 of those inspectors were arrested. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And
I opened a bottle of champagne when I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know. I mean, because they couldn't take the money at the private garages anymore, so they just continued to do it at the facility, and it turned into a big, some of them went to jail, I do believe, okay? Some of these dispatchers at JFK they busted, not, you always hear about their busting, they bust all these dispatchers, and then you never hear what happens what happens to them later on. I mean, you know, do they get convicted of a crime? Do they do jail time? You know, do you remember how long ago was it when they busted a bunch of dispatchers at JFK?
It was a couple of years ago, like a big bust.
I don't even think it was more than a year or two ago. Okay?
Yeah, recent history.
Right. And they're paraded out and you see them on the news, right? All in handcuffs, right? And then you never hear. Well, where did they go with this? Okay, were the cases dismissed? You know, were the dispatchers convicted? And did they do jail time? You know, you never hear about that, and I wonder.
Well, I think what the, if I'm not mistaken, the sentence they got was, I mean, they're not going to be going away for 5 years in jail. They got something where, I mean, it is on the record. It's not good. So, but they got something where, like, up to a year. They might have knocked it down to a misdemeanor or something like that. But it's on the record. I mean, they get they could have been facing like jail time. If they do something again within 5 years, that's they go to jail. I mean, this is the problem with probation. People say, oh, you only got 5 years of probation. It's like, no. If something happens in a bar or on the street or on the subway and you get into some dust up, they can throw you in the can for some time. So it's not like a joke.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the other thing, a friend of mine came in, he was a cab driver, came into JFK, no, strike that. A friend of mine came into LaGuardia and he was going to South Jamaica. So from LaGuardia to South Jamaica, it's like a $30 ride. So he's standing on the line. And he said about four or five hustlers talked to him on the line, trying to hustle him to go into a Manhattan. They go, "Where are you going?" He goes, "I'm going into Jamaica." I said, "Oh no, that's what the yellow can." So first of all, the hustlers are asking him to go into Manhattan. They're telling him that going to Manhattan costs $75, which it doesn't. It costs maybe like $35, $40, and the dispatcher is maybe like 50 feet away. And these people are just working all the tours in the line at the main terminal of LaGuardia. And I said to myself, where are the Port Authority cops? And if the Port Authority cops can't do this, bring in the NYPD. The NYPD are the way people are going to throw them in jail. I don't know what's going on. And they're like 50 feet away from the so-called taxi dispatcher. Mm-hmm. Does the taxi dispatcher have a phone where he can get help? I mean, I don't know why he doesn't just pick up the phone and say, hey, get out of here. So I don't know if there's something going on in that scene. But he said they were just blatantly standing next to the people online, saying, do you want to go to Manhattan? And the goal of them to say Manhattan. And then they say, oh, if you're not going to Manhattan, the yellow cabs are for, like, Brooklyn and Queens. That's what they're telling the people.
You know, I wonder...
And then they're telling the people... The people that it also costs $80, which it doesn't.
Yeah, that's been going on for years. And you know something? I think they need to take the whole system that they have now and flush it down the toilet. Okay?
Yeah.
And come up with a brand new, you know, innovative. You like that word? Okay. And innovative.
It's a big word for a Sunday. Yeah,
I know. But they should come up with an innovative system, okay, that makes people aware of what is and what shouldn't be, okay, and correctly puts them into the vehicles that are licensed to take them, okay? And I don't think it would, you know, if they can invent GPS, send people to the moon, okay, and invent smartphones that, that could do just about anything in the world, all right. I think they could come up with a system to get rid of the corruption there, okay.
If they want to.
Yeah, but why don't they want to? You know, that's the question.
That's a good question.
All right.
Big question, Mike.
You know, I mean, what? It's not rocket science here. Well, you know, all it takes is a couple of people stationed, where people come off the airlines, you know, to legitimately inform people what vehicles to take and what vehicles not to take. Okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, or you know, even on the planes, you know, I think they watch movies now when you take a flight. I haven't been on a plane in 30 years. I haven't been on a plane, but I think that part of being on the plane, part of watching your movies or whatever, there should be, just like the TV in the back of the taxis, okay? There should be, information about you're flying into New York. Only yellow medallion taxis are licensed to pick you up. All other taxis must be prearranged. Okay, and if anybody approaches you and asks you if you want a taxi, that is not permitted, and you should not pay any attention to them.
Well, there should also be a bigger sign. They have like a little tiny sign on the side there. But, I mean, the goal. And then apparently the guy who was my friend, after going through this, he said it's the same people every day. It's like they're nuts. They're like lunatics. They come in as the same people every day. I guess they're making a living hustling people because they come back every day. It's the same people doing this law-breaking every day. And I'm saying to myself, where are the police? Where are the Port Authority police? Are they like, do they, I mean, what do they have to do over there all day where they can't take care of this? This is very important because you don't know who these people are. And the people are coming to New York for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The first person they're targeting was someone trying to rip them off on a cab line. Come on.
Well, you know something? The city council just passed rules, okay, and it applies to the airports also, okay? First offense for hustling, okay, or picking up a street hail illegally, okay?
Right.
First offense, $2,000. Second offense, $4,000.
Okay, all right. This is very important. I want you to, from the top, because a lot of people listen to this site from all over the world. We get people checking in from Australia and London and Chicago. So we have to, we meaning you and me, have to be careful from now on.
Yeah.
Like talking to people that think they know everything, like we know everything, because a lot of people don't. So from the top, what did the Taxi Commission pass, and when does it take effect?
It's not passed, it's not the Taxi Commission, it's just the City Council passed it. It's law. It's not a rule.
Good.
It's law. The mayor signed it, okay? All right?
And it says what?
It says that if you are not a licensed taxi cab, okay, all right, if you're a for-hire vehicle or any other vehicle, okay, and you illegally solicit business at the airport or illegally pick up street hails, okay, this is in the city of New York, okay, first offense, $2,000, okay,
wow.
All right, second offense, $4,000, okay,
right.
And third offense within 10 years, okay? So if you do get two offenses, you know, one this month and one next month, you got 10 years for that third offense. If you do it the third time, within that 10 years, $10,000 and a loss of your DMV license. Okay,
and that would be and loss of your DMV license. Oh,
right.
Wow.
Okay. So but here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing, all right? This law was passed about 2-3 weeks ago. Okay? The mayor signed it, okay? And and it doesn't go into effect for 90 days. That's another thing about the I guess it's in the New York State Constitution that when you pass a law, you have to wait 90 days to put it into effect, okay? I do believe that when those 90 days are up, okay, that they're going to enforce it. Okay?
Thank God.
Well, let's hope that they do, because what's the point of passing it if you're not going to enforce it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, man. If the city did due diligence with this law, they could probably get a squad of people and make maybe $2 million in fines on the first day. Because I know the Lower East Side, all the knuckleheads running around down there, the airports with all the people.
Yeah.
I'm honestly thinking people are emotionally disturbed who have a car because, I mean, they're not even like on the DL, on the down low. They're just like next to the line. They could be asking anybody. And I think they're like, they must be psychotics or something. And it's up to the Port Authority to say, listen, get out of here.
Okay, listen, you know? Mike, here's something that people can do, okay, that taxi drivers can do, that anybody can do, okay, you know, when you have the time to do it, okay, is you could go to the airport, okay, you could make like you're a passenger walking off a plane, okay,
yeah,
and see if you get hustled, okay, and if you do, you could say, oh, okay, where's the taxi? And the guy will lead you out to his vehicle. And you could take a picture of the vehicle. You could take a picture of the guy and say, you're busted. I'm turning you in.
Well, you know, the other thing you could do,
yeah.
What I'd like to do, I'd like to go online and get one of those, like, you're like a hockey air horn. And every time a hustler comes up to me at the airport, just start blowing the horn and see if he runs away.
Okay,
you know,
well, Mike, I'm serious, you know, I mean, You know, people can
I'm
do this.
Too.
Okay, yeah, but you have the information. You have the guy's license plate number. You have a picture of the guy. Okay, yeah. Where do you go with this? Okay, all right. Yeah. I would take it to the police. Okay, I would take it to the taxi commission. I would also, if I was having problems, I think Taxi Dave has asked people to call him with this information. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Taxi Dave, his email is taxihail@AOL.com. You could email me, nyctaxinews at AOL.com. Send me the information and identify yourself, okay, as a witness. Okay, and right. Let's see where we can go with this.
Well, I hope so, because it's just so annoying. And I'll tell you the other thing that's going on with the taxi commission deal.
Yeah.
Now these are just for any cars. These are not for like taxi commission cars. These are like any vehicles they're talking about with this fine, right? Like private cars.
Right. Any vehicle.
I've seen a lot of
any vehicle. It doesn't matter if you're an FHV. You know, you're doing something illegal, no matter what kind of vehicle you're using. Okay, the only vehicles that can legally pick up street hails, okay, are yellow medallion taxi cabs in the city of New York. It's law. It's not a rule. It's
right.
Law. It's written in the books.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Title 19 of the New York City Code. All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, good.
All right.
Good.
You know, I have Title 19. You could read the whole thing. There's a link on the front page of NYC Taxi News to read that law. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's in the menu.
Good.
All right? Read it.
Uh-huh. Due diligence. Diligence. That's
yeah.
What we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, Mike.
Now, the last thing on this, I've seen some fake Uber cars. These guys are coming in from out of the city. They're with private SUVs, with regular plates, with Pennsylvania plates, with New Jersey plates, and I think they're borrowing the cell phone from an Uber guy in Manhattan and using like a rented car or something from outside the city to come in and work for Surge. How does that grab you? That makes you feel real good, right?
It makes me want to throw up. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I saw the other day, and I was asking one guy, today, now how is it, because I saw like the huge GMC, like, Deathmobile, black with the tinted glass, then Uber cars with Pennsylvania plates. And I saw him pick up a couple of Uber people. I said, what's going on? He goes, oh, they come from out of state, and their friend lends them the phone. I said, their friend lends them, because there's no attachment to the physical vehicle. And I guess they do a thing with the friend lending them the phone, and they rent a car, and blah, blah, blah. And the passenger doesn't know anything. They just hop in the car, and they go. So the taxi commission, with all this hammering yellow cabs for nonsense, I think they really have to delete Uber. Just delete Uber. Keep it simple. That's the other thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
And what else we got to talk about? What else you got on your mind?
Well, I have been informed, and I put up bill that has been the bill that's been introduced in the city council, where they now want to make all FHVs and all taxi cabs wheelchair accessible, 100% accessibility.
All vehicles?
Right, all vehicles. All four hire vehicles, including taxi cabs. 100% accessibility by 2020. Okay?
Oh, wow. Well,
okay.
I mean, look, we're halfway there, so I mean, if they you know, just, well, we're probably going to, well, they're throwing money at us, so that's very good. But the FHVs are going to fight that tooth and nail.
Well, let them fight it. You know, I mean, here's the thing. You know, this is the only way to ensure that the people that need these vehicles get them. Okay,
right.
And it also will ensure that drivers are not going to run away because we don't want to drive an accessible vehicle, so we'll go somewhere where we don't have to.
Right.
Okay. You know, are there going to be no drivers on any of these cars? I don't think so. You know what they say? Where there's money to be made, somebody's doing it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, now that flies into the face of the yellow cabs are getting their wheelchair accessible vehicles, and those guys are finally making a few bucks directly because of the fact they're driving a wheelchair accessible vehicle. Now they're going to flood the industry and just destroy any chance these guys have to make money off that program. So they're making money now. And I'm just wondering, long term, the cabbies have bought wheelchair accessible vehicles. They finally ramped up the money they can make. And, you know, a lot of the people in wheelchairs now, they have the motorized wheelchairs. They're running around the city in Manhattan. They're using motorized wheelchairs, and it's not like the days where you had the physical wheelchair. So this glut of wheelchair-accessible vehicles is very political, but it's not that practical because you have to have some drivers who make money off the deal so they can run a business. And if you're going to flood 100,000 wheelchair-accessible vehicles for people who may be taken once or twice a week, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's overkill. And I'm just wondering about that aspect.
Well, you tell me this, okay? And then I disagree with you, okay? And I'll tell you why. How do you stop drivers from leaving the wheelchair accessible vehicle sitting because they could drive another vehicle that isn't wheelchair accessible? You tell me how you stop that.
Give them more money to do it. Pay them more money to do it.
They're doing that now. You know. They're doing that now. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Look. There's a lot of controversy about this. All right. Me personally, yeah. I think that 100% accessibility is the only idea that will settle the problem once and for all. Okay.
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, it just I know what you're saying, and it does get into like competitive advantage. If one segment has to do it and the other segment doesn't have to do it,
right?
As far as running your business. I mean, if one guy has to jump out, get rid of his cab, and buy a $60,000 wheelchair cab, and then the other guy is downloading an app from the internet and doesn't have to buy that car, I would say that's an unfair competitive advantage.
It is. And not all of these accessible vehicles cost $60,000, okay? All right? It's the only way to solve the problem, okay? You know, what good does it do the people in wheelchairs if nobody's driving the wheelchair-accessible vehicles, okay?
Well, I'd like to know what the number of calls are coming in for these wheelchair-accessible vehicles. The Taxi Commission, I'd like to know, do you have any information of how many calls are coming in?
No, I don't, but I'm sure that in time those numbers will be revealed.
I don't know.
Call up one of those people at the Taxi Commission that never drove a cab and ask them. Okay. You know, all I know is that if all the vehicles are wheelchair accessible, the wheelchair people will be accommodated and the drivers have nowhere to run.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
You know, then we get into this whole big wheelchair thing. How many physical customers do we have for wheelchair accessible vehicles?
There are many that don't take taxis because there aren't out there. You know what they say, build it and we'll come. That's what's happening. Okay. There are many wheelchair people that if there was a wheelchair accessible vehicle for them, they would be there. Okay. But until that happens, you won't know.
Well, the other thing is, what training do the cab drivers get for this? Because these are people in wheelchairs who need special attention, and the fact that some of these cab drivers are not physically able to lift a 400-pound guy in a wheelchair.
What they want is that all of these vehicles should be side entered, okay, with a ramp, okay?
Yeah,
you don't have to lift a wheelchair. You know, you just maybe you have to give it a little push up a ramp. Okay.
No, listen, you're going to push a 400-pound guy up a ramp in a wheelchair.
Well, you know, nobody says you have to accommodate every single one of them. If you can't push them, you can't push them. Okay? You don't have to be Mighty Mouse to do it. Okay?
Well, what happens if you can't push them?
Then he has to find another cab. Then he has to find another cab driver that can push him.
I don't know about that.
Mike, you're looking for the extremes, okay?
I'm looking for
the average. The average wheelchair can be pushed by the average cab driver. Okay.
No. The average wheelchair now is a motorized wheelchair.
Then you don't need to push them. If it's motorized, you don't need to push them.
All right. Well, the other thing here is the wheelchair cabs that exist now are making a few bucks off the new program. Because it's a pretty good matchup between the people in wheelchairs and the cabs that are outfitted for those people in wheelchairs. Now, if you go and multiply that by a factor of 6 or 7 times the amount of accessible cabs, and the number of people in wheelchairs who need those cabs remains finite, now you have this glut of wheelchair cabs in the city, and you haven't expanded proportionally the amount of people who need them, so that means the guy who's looking to make a few bucks transporting the handicap is now making nothing.
Let me ask you a question. When you're out there riding in your cab, and let's say you're riding in a wheelchair-accessible cab, okay?
Right.
Does it matter to you whether there's a wheelchair in the back or not? You know, when you press that meter and the guy says, take me to JFK, wait for me 5 minutes and take me back to Manhattan. Does it matter to you? Whether there's a wheelchair or no wheelchair, okay? To me, what it does is it puts extra people out there that want the service. That's what it does. Okay? And sometimes people, and sometimes you won't have wheelchair people. You're still getting more fares.
Right.
You're getting more fares, you're getting more money.
Well, it's just a matter of, it's a factor of how much extra are you doing to provide the service that you're doing 99% of the time.
You're walking around to the side of the taxi, and you're helping a disabled person who deserves to be helped, okay? Because he's disabled and you're not, okay?
Nobody's saying he doesn't deserve to be helped. What I'm saying is we're running a business. Well, excuse me for being a monster, but let me put it right on the table and say, listen, if I'm taking a guy from Grand Central to Penn Station and it takes me 10 minutes, fine. I'm working for 10 minutes. I'm getting 10 minutes worth of money,
mm-hmm.
right? If I'm taking a person from Grand Central to Penn Station and it takes me 25 minutes, why am I not being compensated for the fare that takes 25 minutes instead of the fare that takes 10 minutes? Why am I not making 2.5 times
so
the money?
So leave the meter running. How many wheelchairs? You know, what are you going to do, wheelchair people all day long? You're going to do one a day, maybe two a day. What's the big deal? I mean, you know.
Listen. You get people making a lot of money off the handicap,
mm-hmm.
and the cab driver is always the monster because he dares to say, I have to make more money doing this because it's taking more time.
The cab driver is not the monster. Who said the cab driver is the monster?
The media, all the time. We're the monster. We're the horrible people who are allegedly don't pick up the handicap when we do, and I'm sick of it, and I'm sick of it to the point because everybody's making a fortune transporting these poor handicapped people, and the cab driver dares to say, I need another 10 bucks, I need another 20 bucks because I have to cover my time, then you're a monster in the media. It's like, oh, how dare you say something, or it's like, oh, I need more money because I have to go out and buy a $60,000 car instead of a $30,000 car, and I need more money to do it.
Mike, you're yelling.
That's what I hate.
You're yelling. Okay, so what you're saying is that you're doing a little bit of extra work, and you want to be compensated for that work.
The point I'm making is the wheelchair accessible plan right now, you have to let the drivers make more money. A 10-minute cab ride, if the 10-minute cab driver, for any reason, 10-minute cab ride becomes a 25-minute cab ride, that driver has to be compensated for the extra time and effort that driver is exerting into the 25-minute ride versus the 10-minute ride. Now, if a person in a wheelchair gets in that cab, the cab driver can be compensated from the fund that has been built up with 30 cents per trip from the other passengers who are paying this every day. What has to be done also, the money should not be coming from wheelchair people. The money should be coming from that fund to compensate the cab drivers. Now, the other thing that I'm extremely concerned about is they finally started getting some money into the pockets of the cab drivers in the wheelchair-accessible vehicles. But if they increase the amount of wheelchair-accessible vehicles by 6 or 7 times, nobody has yet to see how many actual physical wheelchair-accessible rides there are in this town. Because right now, they might match up pretty well with half the yellow cabs having wheelchair-accessible vehicle rides, and those drivers can make money. But if they multiply that by a factor of 7, now you're going to have a guy just driving around in a wheelchair-accessible vehicle, making no money, and just basically with a $60,000 or $40,000 wheelchair-accessible vehicle to do maybe like one ride a month. That's crazy, in my opinion. Go.
Okay. I believe we were talking about 100% accessibility. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's what you are. That's what they want to do.
Okay. That's what they want to do. Okay. And my question to you is, should only yellow taxis be accessible?
Well, that's an excellent question, because before we were getting stuck financially because we were being forced to do all the work of the other vehicles under the TLC and losing money doing it. But now the TLC has actually opened up the bank account and is compensating cab drivers from the wheelchair accessible fund. And the fact there are just enough wheelchair rides to match up with cab drivers making a living doing that means that they've bought their vehicle for a reason. They've gone out and bought a, what is it, $40,000, $50,000 vehicle for a reason, and now they're making money every time they pick up a person in a wheelchair. Hold on. But what this bill wants to do now is they say everybody has to buy a wheelchair-accessible vehicle. Are we going to increase the number of wheelchair-accessible people as passengers by a factor of five times or six times or seven times? The answer is no, which means that all things being equal, the cab driver just went out and bought a wheelchair is going to be probably riding like maybe two or three fares a month after spending an additional $30,000 for a wheelchair-accessible vehicle. That is crazy. And what do you say? What say you?
I say you think that no extra wheelchair people will be will be available as more vehicles become wheelchair accessible. And I ask you, what makes you say that? What makes you think that there aren't people in wheelchairs right now that wish they could get a wheelchair accessible taxi but don't come out onto the street because they know they can't?
Well, first of all, they have motorized wheelchairs which are do 20 miles an hour. I see them on the sidewalks. So a lot of people have gotten motorized wheelchairs. That was the other problem with the buses. The hydraulics kept popping out of the MTA buses, which couldn't lift the 200 or 300-pound motorized accessible wheelchairs. And I think as much as some people, God bless them, are shut-ins because they can't get around in wheelchairs in the city of New York, I don't think if they make every single vehicle with the taxi commission wheelchair accessible, I don't think we're going to get five times as many calls from wheelchair accessible passengers that we're getting now. I think the math is not there, and it's just another quick fix by the politicians to make themselves look good, and it doesn't matter what the cabbies and the for hire people have to pay. It's real cynical, and I think it's disgusting. And this jumps back to the fact that nobody at the TLC drives a cab or has ever operated a for-hire vehicle. Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. Go ahead.
What percent of for-hire vehicles other than taxi cabs do you think should be accessible?
Let's say you could probably do 50-50. I mean, you could probably do something. But when you make all of them wheelchair accessible, there's not that much business. I don't know if you've heard any statistics, but I don't know how many wheelchair fares we were getting and versus what the potential market is. The taxi commission has all this information. And what we have to do is go up there and ask them. And good luck with that.
Okay. So 50% of yellow cabs are accessible, will be accessible.
Right.
And you're saying 50% of FHVs should be accessible. So what's going to keep the drivers from telling the owners of the cars, we don't want to drive accessible taxis. We just want to drive the ones that aren't accessible.
Money. If the people driving accessible taxis are going to get compensated and make at least the same, if not more money, money changes everything. Because right now, the only reason that drivers don't want to drive wheelchair accessible vehicles is that they're losing money. This is why those cars are sitting. Because for a while, you're getting the same money taking 25 minutes for a fare, wheelchair or no wheelchair, versus 10 minutes for the same fare. So if you can compensate that cab driver for that extra time and money, fine. And if you can pay him a little more for doing the right thing, that's all the better. But right now, we're constantly being, that's another reason I'm ticked off, because I'm so sick and tired of these media people propagandizing how horrible cabbies are for not picking up people with wheelchairs, allegedly, when I know myself, I've been standing in the rain many times, putting people in wheelchair in cabs, and not making a dime more, while everybody else is rolling in dough and getting money from the city and getting $60 per ride with these accessoride deals. And so I just want to get compensated for my time. I want to at least stay even, let alone make a little more money doing this. So that's the big problem I have with all this.
Okay. Have you ever turned down a person in a wheelchair?
Never, ever.
Okay. Do you have No. No, I have not.
Why not?
Because I never did. The only problem I ever had was if I could not no way get the wheelchair into the taxi. But I would say 99.9% of the time we always found a way. Okay, either put it in the trunk and use one of them bungee cords to hold the trunk closed. Okay,
right.
Or somehow get it into the back seat and let the passenger sit up front. Okay. I have never. I don't have any recall of not accommodating a person with a wheelchair. Okay, even though I always felt that it was a little bit of a. Bit of a chore that I wish I didn't have to do, but I couldn't see not doing it because I have compassion for these people, okay? And I thank God that I'm not in a wheelchair, all right?
I thank God I'm in a wheelchair also, and I want the plan to work. And the only way this plan is going to work is to compensate drivers to do it because you have people basically pimping the handicap in New York, whether it's Medicaid or Medicare and all these other things, just gouging the state and the city for funds to do something that the cab business has proven can be done for maybe like a third of the price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another disgusting thing because the city is getting reamed, for lack of a better word, and paying exorbitant amounts of money to transport the handicapped. And the money right there is in that fund, that taxi fund, 30 cents per trip, where you can, in fact, get some money to the drivers, and you can also do it in a way where you're not going to have to charge that wheelchair person extra to get a yellow cab. I keep watching the taxi commission, again, run by people with no industry experience. They finally had something, a plan, where the cabbies operating these wheelchair-accessible vehicles were going to start making a little money, and then sure enough, they turn around and say, well, now we're going to make every single car in the city wheelchair accessible. It's like, well, where's the business? It's like it's the same as just putting out more cabs on the street for the passengers that we have on a regular basis. Where's the business? How many people? What is the market for them to say we have to multiply the wheelchair accessible vehicles by a factor of seven? There aren't that many wheelchair accessible vehicle passengers in the city. I think it's like 100, 150,000. So right now, the only people doing anything for them on this standpoint are the cabs, so they're looking at a market of like 6,000. So I don't know how often these people hop in cabs all day long, but there should be something, and the coverage, for at least from our side of the tracks, is there. So I don't know. Go ahead.
That's it. I think we've exhausted this subject. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm exhausted.
I think that it's a good idea to have 100% accessibility. Okay.
So you think it's good for 100%
accessibility? Whether or not the wheelchair, all those wheelchair accessible vehicles are needed, okay? I just think that everyone should be equal, okay? That nobody should have an advantage over somebody else or a disadvantage under somebody else, okay? That's it.
Well, okay? I mean, you could follow the path. You could follow the path of saying, you go to a restaurant or a lot of these places now. It's wheelchair accessible every place, right?
Yeah.
So I think everything should be wheelchair accessible. But the people who are leading the charge for wheelchair accessible vehicles, they don't pay for anything. They're a bunch of wackos who don't pay for anything. You know, and I think, and I feel bad for the actual people in wheelchairs who need cabs, because there is a plan there where we can get the people cabs and we can compensate the drivers for their time.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the way the plan is working now, they finally had a little money going into the driver's pocket, and now they're going to destroy it. That's what I'm seeing happening right now with a quick fix, as always.
Okay, end of subject.
No, I want to keep talking.
What else you got, Mike?
Are you okay? You sound like you're down in the dump.
No, I would like to. Today is it's a weekend day, okay, and I'd like to enjoy my weekend, as you always say. Okay.
All right. One last thing I want to talk about. One last thing is the phone hearing. These people calling in to complain against cab drivers. They call the city of New York, New York complaint line, and then they don't have to physically go down to the taxi commission as per the taxi commission. They just phone in a complaint and then have a hearing where they're sitting at a phone in cyberland without having to physically come in and sit in a taxi court, which I think is illegal. And apparently more and more cabbies are being victimized by these people.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I do believe
they're calling in, not even physically complaining. But I mean, what do you think?
I do believe that somewhere in the United States Constitution, it says that an accused has a right to face his accuser.
Correct.
Okay. And what they're doing is unconstitutional, and somebody should take it to court and challenge it.
Well, this is the other thing. A lot of these cabbies are new to the country, and they don't know what the laws are. Well, they don't know what legal is. I mean, they come from oppressive countries where it's just if you say anything, you get thrown in jail for 10 years, like China.
Okay.
You say the wrong thing, you're in jail for 10 years. Okay. But I think a lot of the problem now is you have to have these people come in, and they can't just put their feet up and kick back and complain against cab drivers.
This was started a while ago, I believe, by the Giuliani administration. Okay? And it hasn't been addressed. And it should be addressed, okay? That's it. That's all I can say. I'm not a lawyer, but if it happened to me, I would fight it to the Supreme Court. All right?
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
Okay. All right. Now let's sum things up, okay? We should bust all of these people that are hustling at the airports and on the streets, okay? We should get paid for wheelchair fares. Okay,
from the fund that exists.
You feel that not all the vehicles should be wheelchair accessible. I disagree with you. I think that it's not a bad idea to have them all wheelchair accessible. Okay, we're allowed to disagree. We are allowed to disagree, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's okay.
Okay. And you want that if somebody's going to accuse you of anything, you want to see their face in a courtroom.
You bet your ass.
Okay. All right. That's it in a nutshell, folks. This has been the Mike and Abe Show, and we'll see you again next week.
Goodbye to everybody. Listen, thank you for listening in, folks, and check out our website. And they're checking out the website. I'm a moron.
Yeah, well, if they're listening to the show, they're checking out the website.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Thank you, world. Bye.
All right, bye.